talk about our Lord's return, okay? And then the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths being celebrated in the Millennial Kingdom. Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 5. Behold, the day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city will be captured and the houses plundered, the woman ravished, half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. And you will flee by the mount, by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. Now the Lord my God there literally is Yahweh my Elohim. And that's what Jesus is referred to as. So Jehovah's Witnesses who say that Jesus is not Yahweh or Jehovah just don't know what they're talking about. They just do a study on the word Jehovah, they're going to find out that throughout the Old Testament, Jesus is referred to as Jehovah. So Jesus returns. Basically, the sun has been darkened in Matthew 24, 29 and 31. The sun has been darkened, the moon no longer gives us light, stars are falling from the sky, the powers of the heavens are shaking, and the Jewish nation realizes that the end of the world has come. Yet the Messiah has not returned. It has not come yet. They don't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah the first time. So, but then all of a sudden it clicks, wait a minute, our Messiah did come 2,000 years ago. And it's going to be a spontaneous acceptance of Jesus as the Jewish Messiah by the Jewish nation, where all at once it's going to click that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and they're going to cry out to him. And that will be the final domino to fall that will usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ to the planet Earth. And so when all nations are invading Jerusalem, the Jews acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. Hosea chapters 5 and 6 talk about this as well. The Lord defeats the enemies of Israel, verse 9 of Zechariah 14, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day, the Lord will be the only one in his name, the only one. And then verses 16 and 17, then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Booths is the Feast of Tabernacles. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. But basically, Israel, the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles for Israel became, because the Jews were scattered all over the world, it became a time when they could pitch a tent in Jerusalem and be in the Holy Land. When Jesus reigns on earth, the Jews will be living securely in the Holy Land. When that thousand-year reign of Christ on the planet earth will be the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that feast will actually be celebrated during those thousand years. So with the Jewish feast, Jesus was suffered as our Passover lamb. He removed our sins to fulfill the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He was the first one to be raised from the dead to immortality, a guarantee of that all who trust in him for salvation will also be raised from the dead. This fulfilled the Feast of First Fruits. On the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit baptized the church, but we are still in this summer gap. We await the Feast of Trumpets, the tribulation period, and the continual regathering of Israel, the return of the Lord for the Jewish Day of Atonement to for the national conversion of Israel when they turn to Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. And then finally, the Feast of Tabernacles, when Israel will rest in security in their land with Jesus as the Jewish Messiah reigning over the entire earth from the Holy of Holies, sitting enthroned in the Holy of Holies, and reign over the entire earth and establish Israel as the mightiest nation on earth. And the Lord Jesus will usher in 1,000 years of peace and righteousness. And so there's more to the Jewish feast than just formalities. The Jewish feast, just as the furniture in the tabernacle and the furniture in the temple are literally pregnant with prophecies of the Jewish Messiah and his work. And so we look forward to the days when these will be fulfilled. By the way, I would not be surprised if the completion of the Feast of Trumpets, when that is complete, and then Yom Kippur would follow, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, I would not be surprised in the least if it didn't follow day by day, just as the first four feasts, on the exact appointed day. Okay? Once one of these follows, the others are going to follow very closely. And so you got, basically what I'm getting at is you got a 22-day period there for all of those things to unravel, starting with the return of Jesus Christ to the planet Earth as the ultimate fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, when that final trumpet is blown and Jesus returns. But whatever the case, there's much in the Old Testament and in the Jewish feast that we can learn of about our God and Savior, the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for protecting the nation of Israel, for guiding them to record your Old Testament and even your New Testament, since we know that most of the authors of the New Testament were also Jewish. We thank you for giving them the tabernacle, the temple, the furniture in both, the Jewish feast, and the many, many prophecies of your coming Messiah, of your Son who would come, who came the first time to die for our sins and rise from the dead, but who is also going to return in the future as the entire nation of Israel will be converted and Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years. We long for that day, Lord, when your Son returns. And until then, we pray that you empower us through the indwelling Holy Spirit to be all that you called us to be and to do all that you called us to do. Cause us to be a people of your word and a people of prayer. Cause us to be a people who cling to you and love you and allow you to work through us as we look forward to the day when your Son's feet stand on the Mount of Olives and he returns and enters through the Eastern Gate, the true triumphal entry, and defeats the enemies of Israel and then sits enthroned in the Holy of Holies in the temple and reigns over all the earth. We long for that day when your Son returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And until then, we pray for the power to be of all that you call us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to hear a message of hope, right? No kidding. But you can listen closely just about every Sunday, you're going to hear a message of hope. Because this is a book of hope, especially if you're redeemed. There's nothing in this book but hope for you, just like Phil was talking about. Today's benediction, I want to take that from one of the verses Phil mentioned, 1 Peter 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Sometimes you can read that and go, oh, what Jesus did for me, it paid so much for me, and you kind of get heavy. And you kind of feel guilty. Well, you should.
We all should. But we should also lift up our heads and realize that it didn't take thousands of bars of gold and coin and precious treasure for Christ to redeem us. It took something far more precious. It took the blood of God. So that's really something you can lift your heads up. It says in the Psalms, you know, lift up your heads. Be lifted up, O you gates, that the King of glory may come in. Look at that throughout the week and go, wow, I meant that much to God that He died. So take this message, take that scripture, take everything Phil said, and realize that as you go throughout the week, there's no reason to feel down, there's no reason to get depressed. Psychologists may tell you all kinds of reasons to get depressed and all kinds of cures, but we've got an entire book full of hope. That's all that's in this book, is hope. So, don't forget the prayer meetings, Friday night, 7 p.m. here, Wednesday night, 7 at Eric's house. There's two prayer meetings, so if you can attend both, good for you. You're going to be doubly blessed, but if you can just at least attend one and come and see how God works when people pray. Don't forget the picnic next weekend, Memorial Day, Jarstead Park, or after the service. Bring a main dish, and is that all we need to bring?
Or dessert.
And a bat, ball, and mitt if you want to play softball. And hopefully there'll be some people from other churches there ready to challenge us. So, one more.
I'd like to also propose that at the potluck that we're going to have, since it is Armed Forces Day, since it has significance for the freedom of our nation, I think we ought to have a prayer session during the potluck to pray for the continued freedom of our nation. And for the continued ability of people who believe as we do to speak the truth without fear of retribution.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So remember that. Remember that. And even remember that. Let me just holding up to it. You know, don't curse our leaders. Pray for them. So have a good week. And remember those things. And remember those events. And we'll see you then. Bye. Thank you.